Okay, here we go. Another one. Just before I go to prayer, everybody's taken note of that, correct? Okay, so next Wednesday, instead of a Bible study here, if you're interested, we are going to head off from here and carol at two of the nursing homes here in town. And then, of course, the following two Wednesdays after that are right before Christmas, right before New Year. So there won't be a Bible study. So anyway, this is it for December, Bible study-wise. And I think for Awana, I'm trying to think if anybody here has kids. Yeah, Marvin does. They do have Awana next week, but they won't the two after that. So, all right. On that note, I'm hoping that you're finding these beneficial. And I feel very, very passionate about the Lord's leading in doing this series, just because of the lies that are so infiltrating the church. And so I'm really, really glad that you're here. But if you have found this beneficial, of course, this is the last one for the year, but you've got 3 weeks. Invite some other folks, perhaps that you don't see here this evening, that you do see Sunday morning. Again, if you find it beneficial, please invite some more folks, because I think this is rather critical information. So, all right, let me pray. And we'll get into our lesson tonight. Father, we are thankful for your word. Thank you for the truth that it provides to us, shows us, and even the truth that transforms our heart. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we have truth, in that it's what enables us to identify the false when we see it. Not only are we to expose those lies that are being propagated in the world and even in the church, but Lord, we are to grow into your likeness so that we can proclaim the truth to those around us that perhaps have been deceived. So, Lord, we thank you for the series. Thank you for the way you're working through it. And we do ask your blessing upon tonight's topic. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, Satan is a master at teaching just enough truth to make something sound right, and then squeeze in a lie so that he can keep, well, unbelievers from the truth. But as far as you and I are concerned, to keep believers from true transformation, or even keep us from being as useful as we can be for our Lord. He is good. Satan is good at what he does. He's very good at what he does, and he will go to extremes to keep himself in business. And really, such is the literalness of tonight's topic. What we're going to look at tonight is demon slaying. Demon slaying. And that's actually what those who do it call it. All right. There are teachers out there that use this term of themselves. And we're going to see a video here in a minute of what they do. But again, this is terminology they use of themselves. There are people who claim that they have the authority to cast out and slay demons in the name of Jesus and cure people instantly from whatever sickness or really sinful activity that is taking place in their lives. And Satan himself, I truly believe, is using this. And as we kind of wrap things up tonight, you'll kind of see well, you won't kind of see. You'll see why I believe that, okay? The main title given to this ministry, at least within the church, is demonic deliverance. And there are a lot of statements that we're going to look at tonight, a lot of statements of truth found and made in this ministry. In fact, I have no problem at all with a ministry that truly delivers people from demonic sinful rule in their lives and even in the world. But what we're going to see here tonight is I think, extremely deceptive and exploitative. Satan is actually using it to exalt himself. He's using it to harm believers, and he's using it to create doubt in God. So I have a video for you here that we'll start with. It's a spectacle. Should be a spectacle. All right, here we go. Look at it go. Trying to think of why it wouldn't be. I know it's a large video file. Maybe that's the problem. And maybe now that I've clicked it so many times.
Let's try to load them all.
Jesus has been preached. Thank you, Jesus. Come.
All right. Hold on here. All right. Here's what we're going to do. What am I going to do here? All right, you're going to have audio.
I break every word curse and every generational curse now. I detach you from what you renounce, and I command every spirit attached, every spirit of rejection, every spirit of rage, every spirit of addiction must go now. Now. All of you and him and the boy must go.
Absolutely hate when you make eye contact. If you're wondering why when I'm doing deliverance, I always say, look at me,
or as they look me in the eye, is because for whatever reason, I don't know what demons see when they look at us. I don't know if it's light, but it hurts them to look at us. It actually hurts the demons to look at us. So you want to make sure that if you can, if you're struggling or a deliverance stalls out or a demon's not manifesting. I just did a deliverance like 2 weeks ago, and the girl was not manifesting. We prayed for her, nothing was happening. And she's like, I know I need deliverance. I've manifested before. I'm tormented. I need it, right? I sat her down. We were at the altar. I got down, and I looked her right in the eyes. And I said, Satan, and some of you are going to manifest right now, but I said, Satan, I know you're there. I can see you. Come up and out now in Jesus' name. And immediately the demon's like, no, and starts manifesting. So you making eye contact, it'll make them surface, it'll make them angry, and it lets them know that you're not afraid of them.
You're always in the spot. Amen. You will submit yourself. Jezebel submits to nobody. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
All right. Sorry about the glitch there at the beginning. Uh-oh. Did I lose my PowerPoint now? Amanda, would you run up there on that center computer and just hit F5 as soon as the program comes up? Oh, it might be up. Hang on. I'm going to have it run twice. There we go. Yeah, just hit F5 on the center computer. Sorry about that. There are a lot of statements of truth that we actually find within this ministry, but what we're going to see tonight is extremely deceptive. It exploits people, and I do believe that Satan is using it to exalt himself. So what does demonic deliverance teach? All right. And again, there is a lot of truth here, but also I think some pretty sneaky errors. So let's go through a few of these things, all right? First of all, demonic deliverance teaches that demons are real and active. James 2:19 says, you believe there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble. And there's James very plainly stating the existence of demons. So demons are real and active. It also teaches that demons have duties. They do deceive the nations. They deceive people. They inflict people, even generationally. I got to tell you, the amount of videos that I had to select from this was astounding. There's a ton to choose from, and I didn't want to necessarily advertise it. So I just chose a couple here, but even generationally, in fact, the first video, I bring that up, you didn't get to see it, but in their dialogue, she was talking about this being a generational issue in this man that collapsed on the floor there. They teach that demons have duties. They cause people to be alcoholics, drug addicts, rebellious, robbers, rapists, murderers. They cause people to procrastinate. They cause people to lie and be prideful. You name it, there is a demon involved, they would teach. Demons have duties. They also teach that believers can be demon possessed. The terminology used in Scripture is demon possession actually speaks of demonization. That is a demon taking control of a person either from within or without. There are many scriptures that tell of people who had demons, and those demons were cast out by Jews, by Jesus, the apostles. But this teaching, what we're looking at, they say even believers can be demon possessed and oppressed. They also teach that Jesus provides us authority over demons. Matthew 10:8 says, and there's Jesus commanding his apostles, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And since Jesus could cast out demons, since he gave his apostles the authority to cast out demons, believers also have the authority to do it. They also teach that our battle is against the rulers of darkness. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So they teach the battle is against the rulers of darkness. They also teach that we are to tear down strongholds. In fact, one of the main guys, he might be the biggest name demon slayer on YouTube, uses this verse as his mandate, really. Okay, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we are to tear down strongholds, they teach. They teach that Satan and his cohorts must be bound. In Revelation 20, verse 2, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. In Matthew 18, 18, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then they also teach that certain people are anointed to do it. And going back to that Matthew 10:8 passage where Jesus commanded his apostles to heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely have you have received, freely give. So this is their basis. And at this point in time, it sounds right. It sounds acceptable. It sounds biblical. Okay? Well, before we look into why it's false, let's take a look at what does the Bible say about demonic activity? Because I don't want to play this down either. Okay? Oh, come on. There you go. Don't read those.
Too late. Never mind.
Demons are real and active. The Bible clearly communicates that. They are real things, real beings. This is a reality. It's not some man-made imagination. As far as we can deduce from Scripture, what the Bible calls demons are fallen angels who rebelled with Satan, were cast out of the heavenlies and to the earth and exist here in spirit form. So they are real and they are active. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, now the Holy Spirit expressly says that in the later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So demons are real and they are active. People can be possessed by a demon. There are people today that are and have been. The Antichrist, when he appears, he will be. Okay, there are accounts in Scripture of people being possessed. Let me read a couple to you. Mark 1:23-26 says, now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. John 13:26-27, Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it, and having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him." We read that right in Scripture. So the Bible does say that people can be possessed by a demon. Thirdly, our battle is against rulers of darkness. We must know that our battle, what we're called and even commissioned to do here in this world, is not directly against sinful people, but rather the author of sin, his cohorts, and his sinful rule in this world. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So we're looking at what the Bible does say about demonic activity. Our enemy is the flesh, the world, and Satan. Ephesians 2:1-3. Speaking really of us, it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others." So that is our enemy. We have this enemy of not only our own sinful nature, but the world and Satan himself. And the Bible also teaches that Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only answer. Now, so far, we are in line with what we've talked about concerning these demon slayers and what they believe. These truths here seem to support that. So let me just ask you, where is the deception? How might this be a false teaching? What do you think?
The devil made me do it.
Cindy, the devil made me do it. What do you mean by that? That's a line from Flip Wilson.
Yeah. But it was saying that all things that come from Satan, you know, like being addicted, you know, it's drugs,
Okay. So it just makes us a victim.
Correct.
Right. Valerie?
About our problem is that he's already said it's finished.
Okay. Yeah, he's already said it's finished, but now it's a problem again. Elmo? Okay. People may be possessed, but believers are not. That is a distinction you picked up on my bullet points there. Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts? Richard?
Well, to me, they're a public show.
A public show.
You can do the same thing person to person in the quiet of your office.
Okay.
So why do it
up on stage with spotlights and microphones? Okay. All right. Rex is down there doing this. All right. Other thoughts there? All good answers. Mitch?
Well, really, there's nothing in the Word of God that says what Jesus commanded his disciples to do that after that. In fact, Paul sort of suggests that all of the apostolic gifts cast off the scene. Now, does God still heal? Of course he does.
Sure.
It's a great position.
Right.
But there's no indication that God has given specific people power over demons.
Okay.
It's not there.
All great answers, and they all fit actually my next main point. Why is demon slaying a false teaching? Well, first of all, believers are not instructed to cast out demons. Mitch just said that. There isn't a single instruction to the church that we should go around casting demons out of people. So let's go to a passage then. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is the one that I told you that the main demon slayer I found, this is his mandate right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 5. It says there, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So isn't that a command to cast out demons that exalt themselves against God? What do you think?
It doesn't.
How about that? It doesn't say anything about demons. Okay? What are the strongholds?
Sin.
False teaching. It's kind of what we're doing right here, isn't it? Okay. Yeah, it is demonic ideals, really, lies. And that's what we're addressing in this topic. It's the arguments that we are to cast down. This is us using the Word of God to expose and counter deceptive, false teachings. We are to do that, okay? So, but no place in Scripture are believers instructed to cast out demons. Mitch touched on this too. Only the apostles were given that authority. In fact, that passage, I read it earlier, Matthew 10:8. He's commanding the apostles. These are the 12. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go out. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cleanse the lepers. I want you to raise the dead. And I want you to cast out demons. And this during Jesus' earthly ministry, and it was really to show, they didn't have the Word of God as we have it now in the New Testament. And this was to show people that the kingdom of God has arrived in the Messiah, in the form of Messiah, and Jesus sent his apostles out to demonstrate that power of God, that it was here. It's here right now. You need to listen to what this Jesus is saying. And that is, by the way, is why those who claim to be able to do it today, so many of them, guess what they call themselves? Apostles. They call themselves apostles. You didn't, the very first video that I had that you only heard half of it or saw half of it is Catherine Crick, the apostle Catherine Crick who does that. Okay. But this power was only given to those whom Jesus personally called during his earthly ministry. Acts 19, did I have a verse? No, I didn't have that one, but that's okay. Oh, you don't need this one anyway. Acts 19, 13 through 16 actually supports this. It says, "Then some itinerant Jewish exorcists," we've looked at this verse before in past lessons, "took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?' And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. A couple of things to note here, though, according to that verse, is there were exorcists. Okay, apparently there were some Jews that were doing this, meaning this is what they did, and in this case, they were unsuccessful because they tried to do it by the name of Jesus, all right? So hold on to that thought, and we'll kind of elaborate on it a little bit later. All right, but only the apostles had the authority to cast out demons. Only unbelievers can be demon-possessed. Elmo talked about that. Only unbelievers can be demon-possessed. 1 John 4:4 is very clear, and it tells us that once a person has the indwelling Holy Spirit, he is more powerful than anything in the world. 1 John 4:4, speaking of a believer, says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." The argument then follows that while they can't indwell from within, they can still oppress from without. And I do believe that Satan and his cohorts can do that through temptation. Okay? But as for casting out demons, I'm convinced that believers cannot be possessed because we are owned and possessed by God. Influenced, yes. Possessed, no. Only Jesus can bind Satan and demons. Got another video here for you.
Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit of divorce, of separation, of dysfunction, we come against you in the mighty name of Jesus.
So an example of a binding prayer would be by the power of the precious blood, which is the one that almost all exorcists say you should start with. So by the power of the precious blood, by the holy name of Jesus, because he said, by my name you will cast out demons. You can also put in things like my intercession with Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Michael, etc. I command the demon of, and then you name the problem that you're having, so it's a fear, right? I command the demon of fear to stop afflicting me, go to the foot of the cross, because ultimately they're Christ's slaves, so he determines what your disposition is. Go to the foot of the cross to receive your sentence. And if you do something as simple as that, a lot of times people find they'll just shut up.
You've been arrested, Satan, in the spiritual realm. We bind you, and you must go now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of stress, every spirit of depression, you must go in the name of Jesus Christ.
I take authority over Satan. Principalities and powers, rules of darkness, spirituals of wickedness in heavenly places, angels, demons, evil spirits, fallen angels that is, Jezebel, Antichrist, fear, dread, doubt, unbelief, deception, confusion, strife, offense, witchcraft, sorcery, robbery, theft, poverty, lack, need, want, infirmity, sickness, disease, intimidation, violence.
I think he got a little bored with his list.
Jealousy.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Betrayal, conspiracy. I bind you, break your power, cast your assignments against Robert Sacred Ministries on YouTube in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Nazareth. Amen.
All right. So these were all examples of people binding Satan. And the biggest question I have concerning all these people binding Satan in Jesus' name is, who keeps setting him free? Whoever that is, he's the guy that needs to be bound, right? Here again, there's not a single instruction to the church to bind Satan and his cohorts. So what about Matthew 18:18? I'll read it to you. Assuredly, this is Jesus speaking, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind, let's turn to it. Turn to it. Turn to Matthew 18:18. We need to. Yeah. Okay, Matthew 18:18, Jesus speaking again, he says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So here he is, he's telling disciples, bind. What do you think? Elmo?
The note that I have on that verse uses the word forbid.
Forbid, okay.
And that kind of takes then that we are to forbid certain things in our lives, and whatever we forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven.
Okay. And where do demons play in? Oh, they're not in there? Okay. All right. All right. They're not. In fact, the context... In fact, let's read verses 18 through 20. It says, he says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst, in the midst of them. This is talking about prayer. This is talking about prayer in general. It has nothing to do with binding Satan, yet this verse is one that they call on to say that they should be. Jeff?
It means being of one accord.
Yeah.
You know, so binding means if you all agree on this, then that's what's going to happen. You know, that one guy that was naming off all the lists, and he's talking about, he was almost saying, like, I'm casting out each of these demons. Stress of this. No, he was naming off all the sins,
right,
that we're is our in our human nature that we're doing all the time.
Yeah. In my point being, only Jesus can actually bind Satan and demons. He does it in Revelation 22. It says he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And the thing is, when Jesus binds Satan, he stays bound. Okay, a few verses later it says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released. So he's bound. So why is demon slaying a false teaching? Well, next one is, demon slaying is temporary at best. And what I mean by that is I do believe that there are people in the world who are possessed by demons. And if indeed someone actually were to cast one out, apparently the Jews had people, ministers that did that, all right? It won't last. It won't last. Acts 19 said that there were itinerant Jewish exorcists. So there were people that apparently had some success with this. All right, but in Matthew 12, 43 through 45, Jesus talks about this. He says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. And he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation. This is another reason, I think, too, that I believe that the only solution, the only real solution here is the indwelling Holy Spirit. If he is occupying us, evil spirits can't. But as for unbelievers, today's demon slaying is temporary at best. Demon slaying is exploiting an evil at worse. And we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes, but there's your point. Demon slaying is exploiting and evil at worst. Neither Satan nor his demons are omnipresent. And the reason I bring this up is because on any given day, there might be dozens of demon slayers casting Satan, okay, out of a person in dozens of different locations around the world. But Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be in multiple locations at one time. The only being that is omnipresent is God. All right? So that's just a, we're talking about why demon slaying is a false teacher. Well, there's one logistical reason. Richard brought this up. Satan becomes the focus. People come to these services, like what I showed you early on, to see Satan and his cohorts. That's not the purpose of a worship service. They may claim they've come to glorify God, but it is Satan who is taking the spotlight at a demon-slaying service. Make him the focus. Give him the microphone. Let him speak. Let everybody hear what he has to say. And that is the last thing that we should want at a service where we've come to worship God. So, couple things here. What's really happening here is I kind of wish now I had maybe put a few more videos up there, but there are some crazy things going on. That one woman at the end where the guy said, it's always in the spine. He's always in the spine. All right. She's going crazy claiming to have the spirit of Jezebel. So what is really happening when we see something like that? Well, I think really there are, well, I've got three options for you, only two for the notes, okay? The first one is, I do believe some are real, okay? I think some of these are real. Satan is using it to take center stage. He's the star of the show. He does it in the world. He's doing it through unbelievers in the local church. He becomes the focus. Let's dedicate our service, in fact, to him. Let's put cameras on him. Let's give him a mic. Let's let him speak. Some of these could be real. Secondly, I think most are not real. I think it's psychological exploitation. Yes, Elmo.
I think in that we live in a culture that is trying to teach everybody not to take responsibility for their own actions.
We're going to get to that exactly, yes. Jeff?
It's not just psychological, it's monetary, because when you look, I look at a lot of those.
I'm talking about what's happening in that person who's squirming on the ground.
A lot of them are plants.
Okay, that's my third one that I didn't have in the notes. Yeah, I think there are some actors for sure. But I think about the first guy, and you only saw half the video, I know, but here he is. He's up on stage having the apostle Catherine Crick cast the demon out of him. And his small child, his son, is right there watching the whole thing. He's seeing how to act, how it's done. And I can only imagine this child growing up in an environment like this, thinking, okay, this is how I solve my problems. And it's a psychological, Elbo actually was talking about earlier about spiritual warfare, and it is a battle in the mind. It is a battle in the mind, and we're training people to lose. Most of these, I think, are, if something real is happening, it is a psychological mind damage thing, okay? And then as Jeff pointed out, I didn't put the third one up there, but yeah, there are definitely those that are just acting, and it is about a show and money. Nick? Yeah, and there is a passage of scripture that talks about convulsing, okay, when the demon was cast out. So I think they're playing that part. Why might someone act as if a demon had control over them?
Draw attention
to themselves. Jeff?
Make excuses for their actions.
Okay, make excuses for their actions. Somebody else over here just said that too. Was it Cindy? Or okay, all right. Yeah, where's the harm? Well, the harm is it generates a victim mentality. Okay, that's one of the harms. The sin in my life is not my fault. I have a demon who is making me do it. What Cindy said earlier. The old comedian Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it, right? It wasn't me. It generates a victim mentality. It gives the devil too much credit for our sin. James 1:14-16 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death." And then he says this, "Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren." Okay? You're the reason you're sinning. Okay? And it does. This ministry, call it that loosely, gives the devil too much credit for our sin. It promises an instant cure. Rather than a life of progressive sanctification and us growing in the likeness of our Savior, as the Bible commands every believer, it promises an instant cure. In fact, Catherine Crick actually counted. One, two, three, out of there, right? But it's not instant. It creates doubt in the power of Jesus. How? Jeff? Okay, all right. Asking a person to cast out a demon, however he's doing it in Jesus' name. Amanda?
That person who just had the demon of addiction casted out, yet goes back to the addiction.
Goes back to his drugs. Right? It didn't work. For the unbeliever, even if a real demon is cast out, he can come back and bring his friends. Jesus' name didn't stop it. And we got people that saying, well, I guess Jesus ain't that powerful. For the believer who thinks a demon has been cast out and will still fall into sin he's tempted by, well, I guess Jesus failed me. He didn't have the power. It creates doubt in the power of Jesus. Also, as I've watched quite a few of these and preparing this, one thing that I've noticed with pretty much all of them is they have to repeat the command. Come out of him in Jesus' name, and they still convulse. Come out of him in Jesus' name, and they still convulse. In fact, the one guy in the first video, I'm sorry you didn't get to see it, but he said no. Did any demons tell Jesus no? Did Jesus have to ever repeat himself?
No,
he didn't. Okay. It creates doubt in the power of Jesus. It exploits people. There are false teachers gaining fame, power, money, and a following by exploiting people who do not know any better. It exalts man. There are false teachers gaining fame, power, money, and a following by exploiting people who do not know any better. It teaches that the flesh can be reformed. I got Galatians 5:16 up there, which says, it's Paul speaking, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This teaching actually teaches that removing the lusts of the flesh is what can cause us to walk in the Spirit. That is the exact opposite of what Galatians 5:16 says. If I can get rid of my sin, then I can have the spiritual walk. Well, that's not how it works. We walk in the Spirit and we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But it teaches that the flesh can actually be reformed. I can quit sinning and then I can walk in the Spirit. Well, the flesh, the old self, cannot be reformed. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are a new creature with a new nature. That's how we are transformed. The flesh, the old self, has nothing to do with that. It can't be reformed. All right, so what should we do about demonization? I haven't used that term except for from the very beginning, but really that's what it is. Everything's a demon. Elmo?
Would the passages in Jude that talk about Michael the archangel, even he wouldn't rebuke?
And
would
that would be very helpful. In fact, I actually meant to have that verse in my notes. I was thinking about it earlier. But yes, he didn't dare rebuke the evil spirit, but had Jesus do it, is what the passage. Yeah. What's that verse? It's Jude what?
Jude 9.
Okay, Jude 1:9, if you want to look that up. Thank you for that. All right. What's that, Rex?
1:9?
Yeah, there's only one chapter, so it's Jude 9 is what he said, but Jude 1:9. All right. Could we cast out a demon? Possibly. Again, there are scriptures that indicate that some have. Obviously, the apostles did. In Matthew 7:22, Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? So apparently there were some that did this and didn't even know the Lord. Maybe we're speaking about the Jews. I don't know. Could we possibly cast out a demon? Yeah, I guess it's possible. There are scriptures that indicate some have. But we are instructed, well, let me put it this way. I'll ask you. What are we instructed to do about demonization in scripture? Marvin.
Well, I think in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and they drink every deadly thing, so I look them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall be recovered.
Okay.
So, I do believe we do have some authority, but, like you say, the devil, demons will come back if that person does not get saved.
Right.
And
right.
Give their life to Christ.
Okay.
They're just leaving themselves open for them to, like I said, bring seven more with them and make them even worse than before.
Yeah. And I agree. I think it is a possibility that you and I who know the Lord could cast a demon out of an unbeliever. But that's not what's going to solve the problem, is it? So what is going to solve the problem, Mitch?
Well, our mission is to preach the word of God to every creature. And then going over to John 4:4, once a person trusts Christ as personal Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell that person, and greater is he that is in the world that is in you. So
okay.
The Spirit of God can take care of any demonic activity.
Okay, so we've had
the
Word of God, the Spirit of God. Richard, did you have something?
Yeah, because neither you or I can cast out a demon. Jesus can cast out a demon. We may be an instrument, but we're not doing it.
Okay.
Like those people on that video. They're not doing it.
Okay.
When the demon comes out, it's because Jesus cast it out, not because I did it.
Right, right. Okay. It is Jesus. Yeah. Nick? Spread the gospel. Other thoughts? Sally, go ahead.
I heard a long time ago that believers should not play around with any kind of demon.
Right. No, this is not something to toy with.
Candles, all that.
Right, right. Okay, so let's say somebody comes to me and says, I have a demon. What should I do? What? Pray? Okay, all right. That's where I was going. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Turn there. We're almost out of time, but I think I can finish. Where'd you go, Ephesians? Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 is probably the most informative passage of Scripture on the subject of the spirit world and demons. And in verses 10 through 17, it says this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, in which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and say, I cast you out in Jesus' name.
No.
It says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So, prayer. All right, here's my notes. Pray. There's that one. Pray is the first thing. And by the way, in 1 Peter 5, I'm going to turn there and I'll read it to you. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9, it says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, and then cast him out by the name of Jesus. No, he then prays. He says, But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Evangelize. Paul talked about that in Ephesians 6:19. Wield the word, wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is exactly what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 when he encountered the devil. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him and saying, "I cast you out in my name." No, it is written, "You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." He used the word of God. It is written. He quoted the word of God to Satan. Prayer, the word of God, is our only offensive weapons against demonization. But we do have this. If we are feeling attacked, submit to God. James 4:7 says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And we are out of time. But thoughts, questions, Richard?
Well, according to them, I've seen the last 3 or 4 years, I've been fueled by 2 great surgeons and several doctors.
Okay, all right.
Cast out the demons.
Yeah, the doctors just cast the demons right out, okay? All right.
I think they feel the danger in this thing is that we're born in sin, we sin, and so they're trying to make sin that we do naturally because of our sinful nature something that the devil puts into us.
Right.
Us, I think that's where it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of what that, I had one earlier. Yeah, it gives the devil too much credit for our sin. At number 2 there, yep.
I did want to say something. People see that, and when they really are sick, they don't go to the doctor.
Right.
They go to these people,
yeah.
Or they, you know, or some closer to these,
yeah,
people, and they come.
And we will. That's actually another topic. We got some. Just so you know, we got some good ones coming up. Okay. Got some good ones coming up. One is we will look at some of these faith healers for sure. But anyway, all right, we are over time, so let me pray. Father, we do thank you again for our time here tonight. Thank you for your word to us that does even expose the misuse of Scripture to support an ideal and plan and rule of the devil. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity and teaching by your Spirit that we might be educated to discern it when we see it and respond in a biblical way with prayer, with evangelism, with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.